we're interested in coming up to 5.
Hey, bud. Okay, so we're back at 12 now. We want to come up to 7, possibly.
I think last year we proved that we were more than willing to move up, to move back, to stay put and pick.
If the draft fell 1-2-3 and Marvin Harrison Jr. was there, it would be a no-brainer for the Cardinals. I don't believe that now. I think they would be more open to moving back and getting more picks.
The Arizona Cardinals have traded the pick.
Wolf and Luke bring you Monty on the Move.
All right, final hour of the show, although we'll both be out there for the draft party and broadcast tonight, draft coverage. Yeah. Draft starting at 5 o'clock.
Resolution draft nigh, does it not, Basin?
You know, for some teams, like, what's it like to be in Carolina right now, where they don't even have a first-round pick? There's not a team in football that needs a first-round pick more than Carolina, and Carolina doesn't have a first-round pick. In fact, we had a story up on ArizonaSports.com today, and it's just, it kind of goes back, it's called What's the Going Rate for Top 5 Picks? And it brings up some, you know, recent trades. That Carolina trade last year, Wolf, the Panthers got the number one pick, which they used on Bryce Young. I'm not, like, saying his career's done yet, but C.J. Stroud looks like he's better.
Yeah.
The Bears got D.J. Moore, pick 9, pick 61, a first rounder this year, which is number one overall, and a second rounder. Like, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's really brutal for Carolina.
Yeah, it is brutal, you know, but Carolina can fend for themselves. You know what I mean? We've got bigger fish to fry, do we not?
Well, the flip side is the Cardinals have 2 picks tonight already to work with.
Yeah, you know, 2 picks in the first round. What would you like to see happen, Luke? Like, what would you like to see happen at number 4? Let's start there before we go to 27.
Start at number 4. I'm not coming off Marvin Harrison Jr.
You're not coming off that.
No.
Which is why you're wearing the flight suit.
It is
right
why
now.
I'm wearing the flight suit. Still in the danger zone. But I will say this, over the last few months of talking about this, when we first really were getting into it, I was like, this is almost idiotic. Why wouldn't you just take the guy? He fills a need. He's being called a generational talent by all these scouts. Also, we all watched him play in college and nobody could stop him. You know what I mean? And you need that position. Like, you need a number one receiver.
Need. So you just needed it, though.
But I will say, I'm more open to, like, hey, the Cardinals traded down with the Giants and got Rome Odunze. To me, the line is you better get one of those top 3 receivers. But I'm not going to be, like, if for some reason they go up there at number 4 and they just make the pick and they love Malik Nabers more than Marvin Harrison Jr. and they just take Malik Nabers at 4, like, are we prepared for that as a possibility?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I won't know what to say on the air.
That's going to be, okay, Malik Nabers. I'm just saying, you know what? I don't know why.
He's the odd man out, right?
I don't mean to disparage Malik Nabers either. He's a guy that shows a lot of emotion and passion and is explosive. There's no doubt. I don't know why, but I just, especially now, based on the Charles Davis information that we've gotten, that this guy was an intern and didn't want to miss work and showed up, actually contacted the combine a month before and said, listen, can I work out a day before?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Marvin Harrison Jr. did that.
Yeah, you want me to play it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
Charles,
I do want
Charles
you to
Davis
play
was
that.
On with Bickley and Murata yesterday.
He and his representatives contacted the combine a month ahead of time and said, listen, he's doing an internship. He doesn't want to miss a lot of work. Can he come in a day early, get measured, tested, you know, talk to teams, do all that stuff? He's not doing the field workouts anyway. Can he come in and do that and then get back to his internship? They did it without fanfare. They didn't announce it to the world. The combine people said absolutely, worked with him and did it.
Man, you know, I mean, honestly, I think that is really, really cool right there. And I'm in the danger zone as well in regard to Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 4. I want the Arizona Cardinals to have Marvin Harrison Jr. This is just me, once again. I trust Monty. I do believe Monty is going to get a football player at number four, whoever he thinks is the best football player at number four. And if it's a wide receiver, that's great. I'm just hoping it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. because I love the kid, what I know of him. Have I scouted Marvin Harrison Jr. like Monty Hassenford has? No.
Probably not.
No, not at all. Not anywhere close, Basinonians, all right? So I'm going to trust him to make the right decision on that. I'm just hoping that decision is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. because I love the kid. And I think, based on what we know of him right now, he could be the best option for Kyler Murray. Now, what about 27? What do you want to see happen at 27? Not what you think is going to happen. What would you like to see happen?
I think they need an edge rusher. But again, the caveat of like, if my options are, hey, you can have the fourth best edge rusher, or you can have the best interior offensive lineman, or it's not going to be the best there, but you know what I mean. Just in it, you know,
yeah.
If you've got your three or four needs lined up besides wide receiver at that point, because I'm assuming you've taken one at number four, I would prefer edge rusher. But if my option is the fourth best edge rusher and the second best corner or interior offensive lineman or something, you have to adjust. You have to be able to adjust on the fly, which I know we've only had one draft with Monty Hassenfort, but I would say so far so good in terms of him being able to adjust on the fly. The guy traded down and up in the first round last year. That's about as good as you can. You couldn't ask for a better job.
Yeah.
We haven't heard a whole lot of that speculation anymore. He's going to trade down and back up, but who knows? Anything's on the board here.
For me right now, I'd love to see him get Marvin Harrison Jr. at number four, Basinonians, and then at number 27, assuming, once again, they don't trade back up, they don't trade the fourth pick, they don't do any, they're going to just use their two picks. In the latest Daniel Jeremiah mock draft, he's got Graham Barton going 24. Okay. Now, once again,
what are you going to do when he gets chosen?
I know. I'm going to applaud whoever picks Graham Barton right now. Okay. I'm going to do that. But let me just say, it seems crazy. I know it does, that Graham Barton might actually be there at 27. I think there's no way he's going to be there at 27 now. I thought he'd be there at 35 when we all first started talking about the draft and diving into the draft. I thought he might actually be there at 35. I don't think that's going
to
be the case.
Would you trade a third rounder in 27 to move up four spots or whatever and get him?
If he were there.
Because, I mean, you got three third rounders.
Yes, I think I would do that. And the reason being is because I think he's that special. And if you told me I had Will Hernandez as my right guard and Graham Barton as my left guard.
You might be more in the danger zone on Graham Barton than you are on Marvin Harrison Jr.
You know what we're going to do? Hey, NFC West. We're going to line up and we got these two butt guts, one at left guard, one at right guard. And we got James Conner, who's 6'2", 232 pounds. We're going to beat your face in.
Over and 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 over again.
I mean, why not? You're talking about one of the elite rushing teams in the National Football League. That's right, Basinonians. Your Arizona Cardinals. You're one of the elite rushing teams in the league. We're just going to run over you.
I'd also like to
add a deeper metaphor there. Run through a face.
I'd also like to add.
Then you don't have to worry about them no more.
So,
do you understand how simple that is for Marshawn Lynch, right? I mean, listen to what he said,
hey,
Luke.
It just
said,
said
think that. There's a deeper metaphor there. Run through a face. Then you don't have to worry about him no more.
He's not wrong.
Everything he just said was spot on. Spot on. That's how you play.
Okay, so I'm not coming in tomorrow if the Cardinals don't take Marvin Harrison Jr. I think I also might not come in if the Cardinals do take Graham Barton, because this is going to be something.
I'm just saying
tomorrow.
Right now, can you imagine if he were there at number 27, or even, Luke said, a third round, one of the third round picks to move up to 24? to get him if
what
he's
you,
there.
What are you going to do if he, we'll get back into this. We're doing football the rest of the way, I think. Embrace the Suns playoffs and go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in daily at 8, noon, and 3 o'clock to snag our exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. Text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today during the 8 a.m., noon, and 3 o'clock hours. When we come back, how many quarterbacks are going in the first round, and how is that going to impact what the Cardinals do in this draft? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Wolf and Luke with today's MLB standings. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one residential and commercial roofing company. They've got you covered.
Let's take a look at these NL West standings now. The Dodgers still in first, 15-11. Dodgers have quietly won three in a row, Wolf. That's kind of annoying. The Padres, 14-13, are a game and a half back. The Diamondbacks and Giants are both 12-14. They're both three games out of first place behind the Dodgers. And Colorado, 6-19, 8.5 games back. D-backs off tonight, starting a series with the Seattle Mariners, of all teams, tomorrow.
So you're telling me the Arizona Diamondbacks have the second highest run differential? Is that right? In the bigs right now?
I mean, I didn't say that, but you are second best in the National League.
In the National League,
yeah.
Okay. That's amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? They've got a losing record.
Yeah.
That is stunning. Plus 35. What does that tell you immediately? Well, it tells you, Basinonians, exactly what we have seen so far through this season. They're either feast or famine. Well, that's what it seems to me, at least.
How about this? One team in baseball has scored more runs this season than the LA Dodgers, and it's the Arizona Diamondbacks. Nobody scored more runs than the D-backs, 149 runs through 26 games. That's the highest in baseball.
Wow.
But they're 12-14, which is so counterintuitive because they are a team built on defense, and then they reloaded their rotation and didn't really lose anybody out of the rotation. Now, obviously, guys have been hurt, and Jordan Montgomery's been good.
And not only that, too, Luke, but it's not like Corbin Carroll has gotten going yet, you know?
Yeah.
He hasn't.
None of it adds up.
And it's not like Alec Thomas is on fire out there right now.
I'm playing.
Yeah,
that's it right there. You're saying it right there. The pieces that you would expect to fire up the offense
coming into this season
aren't even, they're not doing anything to the level you would expect.
I would say Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is getting it done right now, right? He's playing very, very well. Blaze Alexander, of course. And it's good to see Gabby coming around as well.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. It's really good to see him flexing a little bit.
And Ketel Marte has been a beast.
And Ketel Marte has been just, you know who he's been?
Ketel Marte. He just doesn't care. It's just like Torrey told us.
I love it, man. It is.
He doesn't care who the pitcher is.
Yep.
But it is. It's kind of strange that they're scoring a ton of runs, but not winning a ton of games yet. And we'll see. Hopefully, based on what Mike Fitzgerald told us a couple days ago, I mean, the homestand starts on Monday against the Dodgers and Padres, and they are hoping that Alec Thomas and Paul Sewald are back for that, which would be nice to start getting the actual team back.
And right now, let me just say this quickly before we're done with this, but 12-14, not the start we wanted to see from the Arizona Diamondbacks, but you know what? Considering everything that has happened to them, the injuries that they have sustained so far, being only three games back?
Yeah.
Man, I'll take that and run.
It helps that the Dodgers haven't been amazing yet. And credit the D-backs for kind of staying afloat. Merrill Kelly, it sounds like he's going to be out for at least a month. Those were kind of the reports that came out this week.
Brutal.
It was weird because we had the short show yesterday, so we didn't really dive into that. All right, over to football. And we'll obviously get back into baseball more tomorrow. But with the draft coming up in about 3.5 hours right now, Wolf, how about anything outside of that Cardinals pick that you think could happen tonight? And I'll start this off. I said this earlier. I think the Raiders are going to try and make a push to find a way to get in position to draft Jaden Daniels. That's just, and look, it's not like I'm the only one who said that, but that's just kind of, it just feels like they're going to make that push. There was a couple stories out earlier this week I think it was Ian Rappaport that had the teams were, the Raiders were one of those teams trying to move up to two or three, and the Commanders were like, no, we need a quarterback. But the Patriots seem like they're open for business if you make them a crazy deal. So if you tell me it goes Caleb Williams to Chicago, and let's say Drake May to Washington, or J.J. McCarthy to Washington, and Jaden Daniels is there at three, and the Patriots are like, yeah, we need players. And the Raiders are like, we'll make some dumb deal to move that up. Like, we'll give you the Trey Lance deal to move up. Could you not see that happening?
I don't know. You do?
I think it's possible. I'm going to be looking for that. I think it's possible.
Okay.
Because I think the Patriots are willing to move that pick.
Yeah. I keep coming back to this over and over and over again because I think you're right. Could somebody be desperate to actually move up to number three and get a quarterback? Yes, no doubt about that. Like the New England Patriots.
Well, yes.
That's the one thing I keep coming back to. The fact, the reality, they need a quarterback. And wouldn't you rather have your pick of three guys that might go in the first round as opposed to one guy? You know, I don't think you'd want somebody else to make that pick for you, in other words. I think you would love to get a quarterback, the Patriots, this year. I think they're doing exactly what Monty Ossenfort was doing. Hang the for sale sign out there and see what happens. See if you get offered the moon, sun, and sky.
So the first four picks, I'm sure there's a trade somewhere or a bet you can do on this. I don't know where to even find it. You think the first four picks will be made by Chicago, Washington, New England, and Arizona as it currently stands?
Yeah.
I think somebody's trading something. I think at least one of those first four picks is
okay. Who do you think is the Patriots? You think the Patriots is most likely?
Yeah.
I just can't get over the fact they need a quarterback and they're going to say, that's all right. We're going to trade out, man. We're going to go down here and get, I don't know, Michael Penix Jr.
Well, I also don't think it's impossible the Cardinals trade the pick either. I just don't want them to. And I think based on some of the stuff that we're hearing, it's more likely they're just going to stay there and take Marvin Harrison Jr. But if you told me, I got to say, nobody trades in that top four or somebody does, yeah, I could see New England or Arizona. If I get both of them, I feel like one of them is going to make a trade. Maybe not. We'll see.
It's just, once again, there are so many rumors that are out there, so many things that we have responded to, Basinonians, especially over this last month. I mean, April started, and like it always does, here comes draft subterfuge. It's going to bash you right in the face, and it did, and it has. And right now, we're sitting here, and you really don't even know the order in which these quarterbacks might go. And now we're starting to hear stuff. Oh, the Minnesota Vikings are not going to move up. Did you see that? Yeah. Adam Schefter with a report right there.
That felt like
there?
That was floated out there by Minnesota. It just felt like somebody from Minnesota was like, hey, Adam, you know what? We don't need a quarterback. We don't need one. We're good. We got Sam Darnold and a punter.
I'm just saying, you know what? We're going to tell Adam Schefter this. And Schefter knows.
Yeah, he knows what's
going
on.
He's being used. Are you kidding me? But we're going to tell. Listen to me, Adam. We're being serious here. Stop laughing on the phone. I called you. You know what I mean? I mean,
we have Sam Darnold, and we believe in Sam Darnold. And we just talked to Justin Jefferson, and he's excited to spend the rest of his career with Sam Darnold throwing him passes.
Listen, we just put this kid through a workout. Sam Darnold, can I tell you right now? He's grading out better than any guy we tested. You know, I mean, seriously.
Adam, you know Patrick Mahomes? Imagine him, but better.
Yeah.
That's Sam Darnold. And we have him. Why would we trade up for a quarterback? We probably won't even take one if one's there at 11.
I just believe nothing at this point in time.
I believe nothing Minnesota or Denver says.
This is why it's going to be fantastic, because we're going to see it. It is great. We're going to see it, man. It's going to be over tonight. And then talking about it tonight while it's happening. How awesome is that going to be? We're going to be able to speak with some conviction about this stuff that is going on. As an analyst, based on our needs, that's what I love, because I get to use my analyst brain. You got to tell me A, B, and C. Does it all equal D? Okay, that was a bad analogy. That wasn't good right there. 1, 2, and 3. Does it all equal 4?
That doesn't.
Well, that's not good either.
No. Well.
1, 2, and 3. Does it all equal 6? How about that?
Aaron's
that
like, better? You know what it equals? It equals it's time to go to break. That's what she's telling
us. Pantera call out next.
Oh. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, he should be there at number 4. And if the Cardinals stay put, he's probably their guy. So what would Marvin Harrison Jr. do for this offense? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
The four hole. Respect. Being drafted number 4 overall by the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. Okay. It was better than the last one.
I'll give you
okay.
credit. I'll give you
it
credit.
Was better than the last one. The voice didn't crack. It was on the edge. But see how you got to get that, and you got to get that back. Yeah, at some point in time, you've got to start training to get the Pantera call out right.
One of the best things, I think you've said this before about playing football, but just like any sport, other than I don't know if you can do it in baseball, is you can just kind of yell and you don't even think about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just kind of like, it's freeing. But yeah. I'll give you credit because we have probably another 4 hours of show tonight.
That's right.
And you were worried about messing up your voice doing that, and you did not dial it down at all.
Yeah, just walk through it, bro. What are you doing?
Full speed ahead.
Yes. Where are we going this beautiful part of the Pantera call-out?
Since you brought up Marvin Harrison Jr., maybe we should talk about him.
Probably.
How about this from Matt Miller? I don't know if this has gotten enough publicity. You're going through all these mock drafts, and there's been a billion of them, and we have the mock draft tracker up on ArizonaSports.com that makes it a little bit easier for you to get a sense of what most people, experts in this field, think the Cardinals are going to do. And Marvin Harrison Jr. has been the overwhelming pick for them at number 4. And you read through some of them, and for the most part, Wolf, they're all just like, hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. is great. It's just different ways to say that, right? Matt Miller in his mock draft, though, his last one here before the actual draft tonight, this stood out to me. He has the Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison at 4. He says Harrison met with 2 teams for the 30 visits in the lead up to the draft, the Bears and the Cardinals. Sources around the NFL say Harrison has an assurance from the Cardinals that he will be the pick if available at this spot. Now, he goes on to say more about how good Marvin Harrison Jr. is, but those first 2 sentences, if he really only met with the Bears and the Cardinals, and if he really has an assurance from the Cardinals that he won't slide past them at number 4.
Yeah.
That tells us all we need to know, because he's going to be there at number 4.
Yeah, one would think he's going to be there at number 4.
Unless
right
the Patriots
now.
Do something really weird.
I just, why would you tell him that, though? Why would you tell? Why does it matter to him? Listen, we love you. That much, that's what you need to know. We love you. If you look, you only went to 2 interviews. You went to Chicago and you came here to Arizona. And we love you. We think you're great. But why would you ever make any type of guarantee if you're there, we're going to pick you? Because I don't want you telling that to anybody else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't. That's the one thing that I don't get.
Well, and it also flies right in the face of what Joe Ortiz was saying last week, that the draft starts at number 5. What did he say? They know 4 quarterbacks are going with the first 4 picks.
Right. So, in other words, the Arizona Cardinals.
We believe we have the first pick of the draft. I know there's going to be 4 picks that go before us, but we believe that, And if 4 quarterbacks go, we believe strongly that we have the first pick of the draft. So, what are teams willing to give us? Now, obviously, we know it's the 5th pick, and people are going to be trading on that, scope. But, it's got to be a good value for us. And does it have to be blown away? What is blown away? I don't know the answer to that.
He got to the point where he was asking himself questions and not answering them.
That was great right there. Joe Ortiz, of course, the general manager.
Countless examples of other teams who have made decisions, but maybe the decision you thought was going to be the decision, it was a different decision that ended up being right.
I tried to follow it that time, and my head physically hurt.
So now. Good right there. Yes. You know what, though? This is going to be really interesting. I'm so glad resolution is coming. It's going to be here in a matter of hours right now as to all the speculation that is out there and what is going to happen. We're going to get some definitive answers.
Cardinals should be on the clock
this. I'm jacked.
In about 4 hours. They should be on the clock in 4 hours. 4 hours from right now.
Okay.
Start to get some answers.
I need to eat, though, before.
Well,
I need to eat. I need to, you know, a little calm before the storm.
And there's a good barbecue place around here between here and the draft.
Yeah, I don't know about barbecue. My wife, that puts me to sleep.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I don't need to go to sleep now. I need some energy food. Do you have any vegetables?
No, I found candy out there. I was looking for candy.
There's no way. Forget about the broccoli. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I can't see Wolf eating a piece of celery to get ready.
No, I'm not going
to
do that. I'm going carnivore.
Like barbecue? I
mean. Yeah, not barbecue.
Okay.
Barbecue will put you to sleep because you got to eat something pasta-wise.
All right.
You have to eat something with barbecue.
Like grilled chicken? Are you eating some grilled chicken?
Yeah, no. I'm going to go, I think, steak.
Oh.
Throw a steak on.
I feel like steak would. It's just
raw.
You're going to eat a raw steak?
Well, no, not raw. Okay. But throw it on when it's raw, of course, and cook it. Little, you know.
I'm gonna get pizza.
What?
Do you not cook steak often? You're not sounding like you do.
Yeah, I don't. I don't.
Warrior Queen.
Is she around? Because we don't need Wolf eating raw steak before the draft.
Well, no, she does cook the steak.
Can she cook it for you before
She's
the draft?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if she was like doing something.
But so much of the time, it's because I'm working, Basin Audience.
That's fine.
I mean, how many times? How many hours? Can you sit on a couch and watch a game over and over and over? That's all I do, right? I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, it's true.
Whether you're there personally or whether you're actually watching it on the television.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You sit there and watch games.
No, I just
right,
want a steak.
Mal?
I just want a steak. I don't know.
But I can still cook dinner.
So, Mel, you cook?
You
never
cook,
knew
no,
that.
No, I mean, Josh and I both cook.
You could cook while you're watching the game, too. Like, I mean, you could be making food while
you could have a TV in your backyard.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
I put things in the microwave and heat them up.
Yeah, see?
Okay. You know what? That's probably the best way to go, too, Rick. Right?
I have been making grilled cheeses, though. I took out the actual pan and buttered the pan. And I was very proud of myself for actually making some food the last couple of days.
Well, if you want breakfast, breakfast is...
Breakfast.
That's
what
I...
What is it? The jalapeno hot mess?
Jalapeno hot mess right there. Think about this. I know you guys are... You're driving around. You're probably thinking, what's he talking about, the jalapeno hot mess? But think about this. Think about grits, okay? Buttered grits, of course. And then think about any type of egg, scrambled egg, fried egg, whatever you want on top of it. Eggs on top of it. And then, of course, think of jalapenos being thrown on it. And then hot dog. All beef, of course. All beef hot dogs.
I'm in.
Cut up, thrown on top of it after you grill them up. Of course, you grill those hot dogs up, throw it on, and then some cheese. You sprinkle a little bit of cheese over it, take out the Frank's Red Hot, and gun it on top of it. I'm telling you right now, jalapeno hot mess doesn't get much better.
You can be out there cooking for all of us on the Great Lawn tonight, because that sounds pretty good.
It is good. Trust me on that.
You didn't have to say the hot sauce at the end. It's implied. If Wolf's making food, there is hot sauce on at the end.
Everything's better.
Even
with
if
hot
it's
sauce
like
on
cereal.
It. Or ice cream.
All right. When we come back, final segment of the show, final thoughts, predictions, what you want from this first round tonight, all of that next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
The NFL Draft. News on number 4. Draft coverage. Live, local, late breaking.
All right, this is our last chance. Final thoughts before the draft starts. Wolf, Burns, and Gambo out there. They'll be out there for the draft party. We're going to be out there too, but we'll be out there by the time we're on the air. The first round will be starting up. So this is our last opportunity to get any thoughts in before this finally starts up. What's on your mind?
There's a kid from Illinois named Chip Ryman. Chip Ryman. I think he's going to be there at 104 overall. Okay?
Okay.
He's the best blocking tight end, in my opinion, the best blocking tight end in this year's draft. Chip Ryman. 6'5", 271 pounds. Yeah, that's right. And he ran a 4.6, 4.40. That is really, really good. It is. Now, listen, anyone who has listened to me, you know this is my sleeper pick right here for the Arizona Cardinals in the top 104. And everyone knows if you get taken in the top 104, you're a player, okay?
And just to be clear, where were you picked again, Wolf?
104.
Oh, okay. But,
okay, anyways.
So no matter who they take at
105, just sit down and
just
shut
up. At that point, yeah.
All right. But I'm serious. The Cardinals have 7 picks in the top 104. Man, does that sound really good for Chip Ryman right there? This could be the sleeper position pick by the Arizona Cardinals, okay? Tight end. A true stud. Tight end, a blocking tight end. Chip Ryman. I believe that is the way you say it. Chip Ryman is the stud tight end that I think would allow Trey McBride to, in 12 personnel, when you're using two tight ends, to be the move tight end. And you got Ryman being the stud tight end, okay? Then all of a sudden, you give Trey McBride a little bit of breathing room and let him get that move tight end down. And also, when you go 11 personnel, now you're talking about Trey McBride being your stud tight end. When you go 11 in rundown situation, first and 10, second and 1 to 6, because he can do it. But you don't want him always being the stud tight end. You want him to be able to move as well and do it in space. That's one of his strengths, and he does it well.
I want to throw a couple scenarios out there just to make sure we go through all these, okay?
Yeah.
Make sure we're just all emotionally prepared for this. The first one's for you. What if Graham Barton's there at 27 and they don't take him? Like, not that he's gone, but he's on the board and the Cardinals go up there and they take Chop Robinson or something instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pass the Kleenex, man. Can I tell you right now, honestly, I want to give Kyler Murray every opportunity to be the guy going forward. I want to, every opportunity. And that's why you need to protect him. And it's why you need to go wide receiver. We all understand, Paulie, the wide receiver fail rate is high. We get it. Yet at the same time, it doesn't mean just because all these other guys failed that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to fail. It doesn't. Or Rome Odunze, for that matter. It doesn't mean that. You need to protect your quarterback. You need to give your quarterback options. And that's what Marvin Harrison Jr. does. And you need to protect him. That's why I would love to have Graham Barton as well. Luke, what about you? What are you thinking right about now? With only 4 minutes to go in the show.
Putting a little pressure on my thoughts. You know, I can't think that quickly. When we talked to Darren Urban earlier today, he brought this up. You got 11 picks in this draft overall. We talked about the 6 in the first 90. You know, bring up 7 in the top 104. I mean, if you can just hit on 3 or 4 of these, like if you could truly hit on 3 or 4 of these, and maybe, you know, another 2 or 3 are guys that are on your team for a couple of years, play a little bit. But like if you truly could land 3 or 4, like legitimate, these guys are mainstays on your team for the next 5+ years. You know, 1 or 2 of them is a perennial Pro Bowler. And certainly if one of those picks you nail is the number 4 overall pick because the stakes are so high there, you're going to set yourself up in a really big way going forward. You look at some of the teams that have built themselves out of kind of nothing over the last, you know, decade or two, and they all have, like, Seattle's the one everybody uses, but there's a lot of these teams you look at and you're like, yeah, it was that draft or it was this draft. This draft right here for the Cardinals is set up to be that way because of the moves Monty made last year and because it's deep in receiver and it's deep in offensive line, and those are two positions they could use help at.
You know, it's interesting right there because when you think of the 2004 draft, think of Larry Fitzgerald. How does that sound to you, Basinonian?
Yeah, sold.
Right there?
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald, Carlos Dansby, Darnell Dockett.
Yeah.
The first three guys you drafted.
Can we have another one of those?
How good is that? And oh, by the way, Antonio Smith you got in the fifth round as well. Antonio Smith was a very good football player.
Yeah.
That was the 2004 draft. You got four players from that draft. That is big time. That's right there.
You can't do it tonight, obviously. You're only going to make two picks tonight. But if you can do that over the course of this draft, that's a game changer. That's not a game changer for week one or for next season. That's a game changer for the foreseeable future, which is what this organization needs.
Kind of like 1985, basically. Just saying.
Oh, okay.
That was also a good year.
Was that a good draft year?
Freddie Joe Nunn was a player. Okay, no doubt about it.
Who was the 104th pick that year?
Well, that was Ron Wolfe, I believe.
Okay.
I think it was the kid, you know, he wasn't a really good player, but he did go to some Pro Bowls. And then you had Vaisekahima taken in the 10th round.
Yeah. You eventually tackled
him. Think about that. Vaisekahima went to, what, two Pro Bowls? He went to two. Hang in there, big guy. You know, it wasn't four.
I hope he's listening two. Right now. Because one time you said that and he called in, remember?
And I love you, Vine. You know it. And, you know, Lonnie Young in the 12th round. They got Lonnie Young in the 12th round, and he was pound for pound, and still to this day, and I think he lives here in the basin. Lonnie, you know I love you. Pound for pound, the hardest guy I ever hit, Lonnie Young. They got four players in that draft.
Do you ever take a step back and look at, like, during the draft tonight, do you ever look around and you're like, man, this is so different than it was even 20 years ago? Like, just how big the draft has become.
Yes.
This is big for the Cardinals, I would say, more than any other team except maybe Chicago tonight. Those are the two teams right now that are in position to dramatically alter where they're going. And I still think something crazy is going to happen.
Luke, I got to go.
Four. Oh, I'm sorry.
I got to go.
Go.
Peace and strength.
Go, don't cook that steak and eat it. All right. Thanks, Darren Maloney. Thanks to Jesse Morrison for Wolf. I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gambo next on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.